go ahead and get started here at 6:15. Thank you all for coming out on this very, very cold evening. We're about to experience the coldest night of the year so far, or at least the season so far. So I hope you guys are prepared for that. We're going to continue our study in the book of James. We've got this week, then we've got next week, and then we have Christmas. So 'tis the season to be jolly, right? Are you jolly? All right. Some of us are, some of us aren't. All right. Alrighty. Go ahead and open your Bibles to chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to open your word of truth, the revelation of yourself to us, so that we may know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I just ask that you bless this time, open our ears so that we can hear, our eyes so that we can see, and our hearts so that we can love more. Just thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, some of the major themes that we've been talking about through the book of James so far have included testing of our faith and doing the testing of our faith, the suffering that we endure, and the steadfastness that we try to hold on to as we go through those trials and tribulations during our life. We've talked about the sin of partiality and how there is no gospel with partiality. The gospel is impartial. It's open to everyone. It's free to everyone who's willing to grab onto it and take it. We've also talked about how our faith without works is completely dead. You can't have one without the other. And we've also talked about in chapter 3 and then in chapter 4, we talked about the taming of the tongue and how wicked man's tongue is and how that gets us into quarrels and how those quarrels are based on our worldliness because we desire possessions and things that we probably shouldn't have in our lives that are taking the place of where God should be in our lives. And now we come to chapter 5. And chapter 5 is, well, it's like every other chapter, it's pretty harsh. James is a pretty harsh book. I mean, he doesn't hold anything back, really. And so now he gives us this drastic warning to rich folks, the rich unbelieving in his society that he's addressing this letter to. And he's giving this warning that's kind of, it's almost like a judgment that's already happened, but yet it's still a warning, okay? And then he flips the switch on us and talks about believers again. And so we're going to be looking real quickly tonight at that warning to the rich and what the outcome of lavish, luxurious, unchristlike living will bring you to versus what a believing Christian's life should look like and what it does look like. And these are the words of James, chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to go through verse 12 today. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of the hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So this is like the rest of the book. It's very characteristic of the rest of the book. It's harsh. It's that truth that you don't really want to hear, but James gives it to us anyway. And the rich, we need to understand going into this, the rich that James is referring to are those rich folks who are not found in Christ, okay? And remember, we've talked about who he's talking to. He's talking to Jewish believers. So these rich folks are probably those rich Jews among their society who have refused the gospel in any form. And they're he's laid out all of these accusations against them. Y'all come on in. He's laid out all these accusations against them. And so as believers today, we recognize that one day all these wrongs that these unbelievers do to us, whether they knowingly do it or unknowingly do it, all of these wrongs, all of these injustices will one day be made right. All the injustice will be filled with justice. All the wrong will be filled with right. But until that day comes, we have to prepare ourselves for that day. And that's our walk with Christ. And what's interesting is there's a TV show called Doomsday Preppers. Have any of you ever heard of Doomsday Preppers? These people are outrageous. If you ever watch the show, the whole show is geared towards these families who believe that the apocalypse is coming very soon, and they devote all their resources and all their time into preparing underground bunkers that are fully furnished with food, fuels, clothing, furniture, whatever they need to survive whatever kind of apocalypse is coming. They're afraid of death. That's the bottom line. Why else would you prepare like that and put all your invest all your resources into something like that if you're not afraid of death? They have no hope. That's their last straw. They're investing everything they have into saving themselves from what may come in the future. And James is showing us here that these rich people are a lot like that. And they probably don't even recognize it. Their hearts are so hardened that they've become doomsday preppers and they don't even know it, because they're storing up all these treasures for themselves here on earth. And everything that they have is geared for their own good, for their own selfish desires and own purposes, instead of being distributed in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. Helping out their neighbor, loving their neighbor as they should love themselves, instead of, as James says, cheating them out of wages by defrauding them. So these rich people are a lot like these doomsday preppers in the fact that they keep storing up and storing up and storing up and storing up all of these different things that they think can get them out of binds, out of different crises. But the fact is, we're in God's economy. And does God's economy run on Visa MasterCard? Does God's economy run on gold or silver or the U.S. dollar or the Mexican peso or these new bitcoins that fluctuate in price from day to day that I don't even understand what they're for? No. God's economy runs on a fluid that is red in color and was shed from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's economy, the currency of God's economy, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And these rich people, though they store up all these material possessions like these doomsday preppers, they're refusing the greatest possession of all. The one possession that can actually get them out of the apocalyptic ending and nightmare of hell that awaits them. And James is showing this here, that this is a judgment, yet it's also a warning that there's still time. But these rich people have these hardened hearts like stone instead of hearts of flesh that the believer has. And so they prepare and prepare and prepare, and oftentimes they don't even know it because their heart's so hardened. At least the doomsday preppers know that what they're doing. They're trying to save themselves from an unknown event that may come and try to take their lives. But doomsday is coming. The judgment day is coming. And what's interesting is when that day comes, the way these rich people prepared for it is not going to work out so well for them. Because God's economy does run on the blood of Jesus Christ. And they will not have that currency. They will not have that possession of that blood to cover them and cover their sins to allow them to enter into the gates of heaven, into eternal paradise, where all of God's promises will be fulfilled on that day for those who are found in Christ. Instead, he's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And they're going to spend an eternity and the eternal punishment because they have focused so much on possessions that have become their idols for their own good instead of what they should have focused on, which is the will of God in their lives. And so James turns the table here and he begins talking about believers and what a believer's life looks like. And there's a very different tone. And this is where I want us to to get the meat from tonight, because we walk daily with Jesus Christ. If you believe in Christ, you have a daily walk with him. You are in constant contact with him in some way, whether you recognize it or not, because he knows everything that you're doing. And his spirit lives inside of us to guide us, to correct us, to convict us. And so this is what James says about the believer. He says, be patient, therefore, brothers, till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. If you remember in chapter 4, we talked about last week. It says, it was talking about quarreling and fighting. And don't quarrel with your brother or judge your brother, because if you're judging your brother, you're above the law, you're a judge. And it says, no, you can't be a judge, because there's only one judge who can judge, and that's God. And so what he was essentially saying is that you were putting yourself up as God over your neighbor. So it says, don't grumble so that you won't be judged. As an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job. Job lost everything. 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 And what happened? Through all of that trial, all of that heartache, all of that pain, he was restored because he was steadfast in his faith. Even when all of his friends come to him and said, you must have done something wrong. You must have done this, you must have done that. What'd you do, Job? Why is this happening to you, Job? Well, it's happening because God willed it to happen to Job. And that's what we need to understand in our lives as believers. When we live lives that are in tune with God's will, and we understand that the suffering that we endure is for his good purposes in our lives, for his glory, that's a good thing. And yes, it may literally hurt and just make you want to pull your hair out and make you, just tears fill your eyes and your soul just be downtrodden. But God does that so that we can glorify him in the end. That he can bring us through those trials. He can bring us through those miseries so that we can figure out what the blessings are in our life, so that we can see them. Job talks about this farmer. There's never been a farmer who's ever planted a crop and not been uncertain of how things are going to go. Because think about it. All the farmer can do is till the soil, prepare the ground, plant the crop. And especially back then, they didn't have aeration mechanisms to water the garden. They prayed for rain. That's why so many of the gods in the ancient Near Eastern cultures were rain gods, because that's their livelihood. So the farmer plants his crop. He does everything he can to the best of his ability. And then he relinquishes all control because there's nothing he can do. And it's all in God's hands. And so he waits on that early rain to help that seed germinate and grow into a plant. And he waits on that late rain so that when that fruit is ripening on the vine, that it ripens to its fullest potential. And as that's happening, God is blessing him and blessing his family with sustenance to keep him alive. And though it doesn't always come in those kind of cycles in our lives, the fact is that blessings in our lives are always there. And God gives them to us when we need them the most. And so that's why James says, be patient. Be patient in your trials. Be patient in your suffering. Because God is doing mighty things in your life that you may not even recognize. So be patient. But above all, my brothers, do not swear even by heaven or by earth or by any oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. If we're establishing our heart to make way for the coming of the Lord, then we need to be people of integrity, as the gospel calls us to, as Jesus calls us to. People of integrity, that when we say something that we're going to do, that we deliver on what we say we're going to do. I mean, It's a pretty profound statement. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's very simple, but that's profound. Think about the small things that we do on a daily basis when the interactions with other people, and you're just talking off the cuff, and you say, yeah, I'm going to do that, such and such, and then it never happens. Yeah, we probably don't mean to be that way, but at the base, at the foundation of it, the core of it, it shows a bit of our integrity, does it not? Because remember that tongue, the tongue that's talking, it's wicked. It can get out of the line sometimes. And you can say things you don't really mean. And James is saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we see this echoed in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So as we have these doomsday preppers who are preparing everything for the end of the world, for this apocalypse that's coming, I hope you see there's a connection there that these rich folks that James is talking about, these it's not just rich folks, it's the unbelieving, all unbelieving people who are storing up treasures for themselves here on earth as their security. They're prepping for a doomsday with an outcome that they are not going to like. It says that their gold and silver is corroding and that it will burn their flesh like fire. I mean, James is saying that their possessions are going to witness against them on that day, on that great day of judgment. Their possessions and all their wealth is going to speak out against them because it's stuff that God blessed their lives with and they refuse to bless others. But the believer is being patient through all those trials, through all that suffering. And as we are preparing for that same day of judgment, our outcome is much different. On that day of judgment, our outcome is the fulfillment of all of God's promises that he's promised from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. We will become heirs with Christ, new bodies. We will have ownership in everything God created. That's pretty incredible. That's our doomsday. Does that look like a day of doom for the believer? Absolutely not. That's why we must endure. That's why we face trials, so that God can build us up and mold us into the Christian, into the Christ, disciple of Christ that he wants us to be, so that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. That on that day of judgment, he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We need to think more along the lines of how James is talking. Yes, this is harsh, but it's so true. James is like that uncle you have that always tells you the truth. You don't really want to hear it. And then when you think about it, he's like, he was right. Well, he's right. And James's letter to his fellow man is in the Bible because he's right. Because it was inspired by the Spirit, by that wisdom from above that he talks about in chapter 3. So I'll leave you with that tonight. Think about your doomsday. What are you preparing for? Are you storing up those riches now to hopefully be able to show God and say, look what all I've done. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've got this. Or are you living a humble life where those riches that God presents to you in your life is blessing, you're presenting to others as blessing as well? Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here for this devotional. Lord, I just pray that this word weighs heavy on all of our hearts because there's so much sin in each of us that we don't even recognize, Lord. And we need that wisdom from above, that your Spirit to guide our hearts so that we may know you better. And in knowing you better, we may live out the gospel better. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time of prayer that we're moving into. I ask that you just bring to mind anything that needs to be prayed about tonight. And God, we thank you so much for who you are, and we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Amen.